everything that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we take you to the Blue Room Theater in Chico to hear from the director and the lead actor from The Village Bike, a steamy, dark comedy about a newly pregnant woman who's just moved from the city to a small town, and she buys a used bicycle to get a feeling of escape and erotic possibilities from her frustrating life. On today's program, we'll also be visiting with Chico artist Christine McShane. She'll be talking about a TV series she has that tells step-by-step how to create paintings. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading, Riverfront Playhouse presents Jack of Diamonds, a comedy about senior citizens who take revenge on a con man. Showtimes are 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, with a 2 o'clock Sunday matinee. Tomorrow, the Cascade Theater in Reading hosts the Sundial Film Festival, now in its 10th year. There are two separate programs, each featuring different films, showcasing the talent, diversity, and creativity of local filmmakers. The first block of films starts at 1 o'clock, the evening block at 7. On Wednesday, at the Reading Civic Auditorium, Amazing Grace, the musical. This show, based on the true story behind one of the world's most beloved songs, follows one man's journey which ignites a wave of change. This musical saga begins at 7:30. In Red Bluff, at the newly renovated State Theater Center for the Arts, the students of Mercy High School present the perennial Broadway hit Fiddler on the Roof. Performances are tonight and tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 2. Closing tomorrow, the Orland Art Center's exhibit, The Artist and the Camera, displaying images by members of the Tehama County Photo Club. You can visit the center tomorrow between 1 and 6. Chico Theater Company ends its run of 9 to 5, the musical. This show, based on the 1980s movie, features music and lyrics by Dolly Parton. Curtain times, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30, with the final performance Sunday at 2. Tuesday, Sierra Nevada Brewery welcomes Della May to the Big Room stage for an evening of folk bluegrass music, steeped in tradition, yet undeniably current. The concert begins at 7:30. Next Thursday, MoCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, closes its exhibit, What? Us Worry? Featuring sculptures by Tony Natsoulis, Paul DePasqua, and Michael Stevens. You have 3 more days to see this show, tomorrow, Sunday, and next Thursday, 11 to 5 each day. At the Chico Art Center, the exhibition Livable Planet. Artists have created pieces which respond to global environmental changes. The center's open noon to 4, Monday through Friday, and 10 to 4 on Saturday and Sunday. The Janet Turner Print Museum at CSU Chico features a solo exhibit by the winner of the 11th Turner National Print Competition, Florin Hattigan. The Turner's open between 11 and 4, Monday through Saturday. Opening in Yuba City at the Acting Company, the comedy Calendar Girls. In a small English village, 6 women, in their respectable late middle age, pose for a racy alternative calendar to help a charitable organization. Performances are tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30. Sunday, at the Grass Valley Center for the Arts Main Stage Theater, Kanakoa, a ukulele-powered Hawaiian folk rock group. Get a taste of the islands starting at 8 o'clock. That's the calendar for this week. Born on this date, Hollywood legend Joan Crawford. Love is a fire, Crawford claimed. But whether it's going to warm your hearth or burn down your house, you never can tell.
In the Village Bike, the current play at Chico's Blue Room Theater, Becky, a newly pregnant woman, has recently moved with her husband to a small town. She's very frustrated with her now sexless marriage. She buys a used bicycle from a local Lothario. Riding the bicycle gives her a sense of escape and the possibility of erotic encounters with other men. I'm at the Blue Room Theater in Chico, and I just saw the present production, The Village Bike. I have here the director of the show, Ashlyn Barnett. What drew you to this script to direct?
I think what interested me most was it's not a morality play whatsoever. It's far from it. But at first glance, it almost seems like it could be. The playwright, Penelope Skinner, is almost like tempting you not to judge all the characters. And that really drew me in. It's super complex.
It seems very much a play from a woman's point of view.
England calls Penelope Skinner, she's British, one of the promising young feminist playwrights. But I honestly don't even see her as a feminist playwright. She writes each character as complex and unique as all human beings are. And that's what I love about her and where I think feminism in general is going. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very unique play to be such a feminine perspective. And to see that a female character isn't just a Madonna or a whore. You know, she's this complex, complicated, nuanced character. And that's a thing you don't really see a lot in literature and theater. And so it was really interesting to see Becky going back and forth from being the Madonna and the whore to emerge from that as so much more is so cool to see.
Well, why don't you tell our audience just a quick idea of what the story is in this play?
Becky is a young, pregnant, married teacher from the big city who's just relocated to a small town with her husband, and the pregnancy has made her a bit randy, if you will, and her husband refuses to put out. Comedy and tragedy ensue.
The playwright is British, and I assume from seeing the play that it was originally set in Britain. What was it like to adapt all that to make it seem more American?
Well, what's cool about this play is really and truly it is universal. We've adapted a few things. We changed the big supermarket Tesco to Save Mart, a very generic supermarket name. But I really respect Penelope as a playwright. I don't want to change her lines. I don't want to change the dialogue so much so that the rhythm's off. So we kind of left in a lot of like the British slang, if you will, you know?
Do you think the way men and women act is at all different in an English setting? Did you have to adjust that?
It does have an air of proper nicety to it. The way that they just talk about sorting the kitchen. But I honestly think it addresses these gender roles that are universal. And it doesn't matter where you are, you know. And Becky is going to be Becky no matter where she's from. And these are issues. Porn, you know, the blurred lines between role play and reality. That's a universal theme. It's not British.
Well, since you mentioned porn, there's a lot of heavy-duty, honest dealing with our relationship to sex. For instance, the main character who's frustrated watches a series of porn DVDs. What was it like to deal so honestly with sex in our lives?
It was a really sensitive topic. I talked with my actors. I really wanted to create a really comfortable environment to explore sexuality and how sexuality is portrayed, and really, I think, how women are viewed as sexual objects. And it's not only that, because that's quite obvious, but how women start to view themselves and their own worth based on their sexuality. And that was really, really interesting to explore. But in terms of the porn you mentioned, that was fun, you know? I mean, it's this cheesy porn, so you're able to step back and look at it objectively because it's really cheesy, you know, and you're not sitting there turned on, you're sitting there laughing, and then you catch yourself laughing at these cheesy things that are subtly basically imprinting on our psyches.
What was it like doing a play where the woman character at the center is so ardently sexual in a way that we don't often see in plays, in an honest way?
It's funny because we don't see it in plays, but it happens every day in every household, basically. Women are ardently sexual. You know, we're sexual beings. And so it's funny because I think the audience can relate to it immediately. They haven't seen it on stage maybe before, but that's their lives. They relate. Women are sexual beings. And that's not what the play is about. Penelope Skinner does a great job. She's not trying to make a statement. She's just trying to say, this is this situation. This is Becky. This is a human being. She's not making a statement about her sexuality in terms of if that's a gender norm or not. The fact that it's not a morality play just means, in my opinion, it's not presenting a black and white viewpoint. It's a conversation starter. And my dream is for people to leave the play thinking like, wow, like, let's talk about these things that Becky deals with, that every woman deals with, and man.
Now we have Blake Nicole Ellis, who plays the main character. You were talking to me earlier about how you were frustrated by this play in the rehearsal process.
There's some darkness to the play. There's actually a lot of darkness to the play. Darkness that you don't necessarily want to admit that you see, and definitely don't want to admit that you can relate to. That was a real struggle to kind of look in the eyes of, when have I been Becky? How can I relate to Becky? How can I empathize with Becky? How can I find her humanity? And I think that a lot of women have been Becky. I think that a lot of men have been John or Oliver. I think there are so many moments in your life where you feel insecure or lost or overwhelmed. Those weaknesses, those moments of struggle where you want to say that you are stronger than that, or you're empowered, or you are enlightened in some way. Maybe sometimes you're just not. That's hard to look at yourself in the mirror in that sense.
What was it like for you negotiating the tone of this? There's parts that really make us all feel bad, and then there's parts that are funny. How did you make your way through all those shifts of tone?
Well, one, I had a good director who helped me find my arc, helped me find where I start, where I go, where I end up, which was incredibly helpful. And I got to nerd out and do a lot of research on acting. I'm very new to acting, so I just had to devour as much as I could. And I think the biggest thing that I walked away with in this search for knowledge to learn how to do this was the question of, how are you sterilizing the role? What story are you afraid to tell? That, for me, really helped discover Becky and her humor and her sadness and in her vulnerability.
Blake, in your real life, do you have children?
No.
What was it like getting into the headspace of a character who is pregnant for her first child and is having a hard time dealing with being in that situation?
Actually, that was not the hardest part, because I grew up believing that I would have children. I'm 29 years old. Just in the past few years, I've come to the realization that maybe I just don't want them. I think Becky chooses this safe, quote-unquote, safe life, one that seemed secure, and maybe it's not the life that she wanted, or rather, it's not the life that she thought that it would be. For me, in my own life, I always thought you have this trajectory that you're told to be an adult, you have to do A, B, and C. And then at some point, you realize maybe A, B, and C isn't for you. So I think that I can really relate to that, because I am in that part of my life where, do I want children? Do I not? Is it okay if I don't? Is it okay if I do? I think that confusion was the easiest part for me to relate to, because I'm currently confused.
So you say you're new to acting. What made you decide to start acting?
Well, I'm a bit of an adrenaline seeker. I like to do exciting things, and I've chosen a recent life of stability. Well, I wanted to explore what I had in me creatively. I'm in a serious relationship with a musician. I'm surrounded by tons of really creative people in this community. Actually, Hillary Tellison, the director of the first play that I've ever done, the first and only other play that I've ever done, got me into it. She invited me to do a storytelling event, and that led to another storytelling event, which led to her play, which led to this play. Honestly, it's just been kind of exploring that part of my life that I hadn't yet. It's been really fun. It's been really exciting. I'm excited to where it might take me next. I'm very humbled by how little experience and knowledge I have of it and how many people around me are so incredibly talented. So it's been a wonderful learning experience, honestly.
Well, for someone who is relatively new to acting, you certainly had a big challenge with this play. Your character goes through so many different extremes in the course of the play. What was that ride like for you?
My director, Ashlyn, was so helpful making sure that I knew who I was when I began and who I was when I ended and what that looked like. But the biggest piece of advice that Ashlyn gave me in this was over a text message, I think like late at night when I was super stressed out and I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, what am I reading okay? And I was very insecure. And she just said, find Becky's humanity. Find her humanity. And that really stuck with me, resonated with me, and it allowed me to explore this character through such a vulnerable way and a real way.
Really, what I was thinking throughout the performance as I watched it, what's this like for this actor to be so vulnerable, so open, where the audience gets farther into her than actors usually have to go? Did you feel that you were opening up to the audience in an unusual way?
Yeah, I mean, I find myself, as you know, in a lot of interesting situations, none of which I've ever done before. Well, more so not on stage. I'm not really sure. Because I'm such a novice, I can't say what's normal to experience up there or what's not to experience up there. What I do know is that you just try to find yourself in the situation. One thing that I struggled with right off the bat was trying to figure out who Becky was. And it's not necessarily just who Becky is, it's who I am as Becky. And that was a really great way to make it personal, to make it more real. And I mean, honestly, I just hope that I did it justice. Becky is a complex character and the play itself is really complex. And even though like I will probably hate it and love it 100 more times before this is done, I'm really proud to be a part of this. I just hope that people walk away with a conversation starting piece.
Well, you as Becky have several male characters to deal with, share the stage with. It's interesting how much they're all over the map as far as how they relate to you. You have a husband who is obsessed with having a baby but doesn't really notice you anymore. I don't want to give anything away, but you have a lover that you take eventually who is really into the act, but really insists on distancing himself from anything beyond just the mechanics of sex. What was it like bringing to life all those different shades of relationships with the men?
Well, two things, really. First of all, I think a lot of women can relate to that we are attracted to a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons. Some are good for us and some are not good for us. And some are good for us in some ways and not good for us in others. I think that the men that I explore, let's say, in this play, represent two very distinct fantasies that we might all have. And those fantasies, I think Becky hopes to marry, you know, to marry the two and to have both. But she cannot in her given situation. So that creates a ton of dissonance. And sometimes one's fantasies aren't actually what they think they might be. Their expectations when they actually live out their fantasies aren't exactly what they thought they would end up to be. I think the men represent a dissonance in Becky and in all humans, wanting these seemingly mutually exclusive things, but to have a happy medium. And what you want and what you expect to happen isn't always what it may seem to be.
If you were going to describe to the audience why people would want to go see The Village Bike at the Blue Room Theater, what would you say? How would you explain it?
First of all, it is a fun play. It is entertaining. It's funny. It's sad. It's saucy. It's multidimensional. And if you come see the play, you'll probably have a pretty darn good conversation afterwards. And I would love to be a part of those conversations because God knows I've had my fair share of them. And everyone's going to have a different opinion. And that is what makes this a good play, is because everyone will walk away from it with something totally different to say.
I'm at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. We're talking about The Village Bike, the play that's on stage through the end of March. You can go this weekend, tonight or tomorrow night, or next weekend, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Christine McShane is an artist who creates acrylic paintings. She has a studio and a gallery in Chico, and she has a TV series on the North State Public Television Station, KIXE, a series for people who want to learn how to paint. Let's join our visual art expert, Dolores Mitchell. She's with McShane, and we're going to hear all about it.
Christine, take us through the step-by-step process you use for your program, which is called Step-by-Step Acrylic Painting.
What we do is we choose a subject and we talk about why we want to paint it. You're going to learn one or two or three things and build on that. There's a lot more in each of the programs. If you continue to watch, you'll learn and progress with painting skills and hopefully have a lovely collection of your own original artwork.
How are you going to make me feel comfortable and inspired? Give us a sense of how you start your program.
I try to talk so that it's not a lot of information at one time. You get a real sense of how the painting is being built. I talk about things that people often do as they're learning that frustrate them. I have a lot of experience with that because I see that here in the studio. I get a lot of beginners. What frustrates them is pretty apparent, and there's a common thread. I try to put them at ease pretty early on. Even how to mix the paint, they get to feel like they're actually doing it because they are. Or how to hold the brush, I give you that, and I'll tell you, we'll do a little, I call it conducting music, that little crosshatch brush stroke. I try to use words that aren't art words, just words that they can relate to. If they're thinking they're expected to know art terms, that's another stress place for them. Oftentimes, even if we're drawing a lemon, I'll tell them just to draw a football so they're not thinking, I don't know what a lemon looks like. As soon as you give them something else to draw, they remember what it looks like. That's another little trick that I use quite a bit. I'm not going to draw a barn. We're just going to draw a square and put a triangle on top. It's broken down that much.
Do you start with a particular subject such as a still life?
Throughout the different shows, I try to trip across a couple of different subject matters. I try to cover floral still life, an ocean scene, some pumpkins, a few seasonal pieces, not just landscapes or still lifes. You can find out what you prefer.
Have you been getting feedback on the series?
So far, so good. Haven't had any negative feedback. Even if it was negative, I would try to see if there was something legitimate in there to learn from. People have been enjoying it. I've had a couple of people send me the painting that they've done. Two of them were young gals, about 9 years old. They kind of followed along and did their painting. I'm really thrilled about that. That is the goal, to have people actually paint along with it. I don't want them to fall asleep. I want them to paint.
Do they need particular materials to get started?
You don't need a lot of supplies. Very basic. You could really do the whole series just by going and getting a very simple 12-tube set. I just use the $3 to $4 brush, but I use a Tacklon brush rather than a bristle brush. You could even paint on watercolor paper if you don't want to be painting on canvases. I often suggest that for people who just want to practice. Just a canvas, a set of paints, and a couple of brushes.
What do you think painting adds to someone's life?
I have seen so much of what it adds. It's a huge stress reduction. I have a lot of people who come to my classes because it's just a wonderful way for them to forget about everything. Whether you like it or not, your focus changes and it goes to your canvas and that's it. You can't really be thinking about a whole lot of other things when you're painting. It's a whole lot less stressful than weightlifting. It also adds a sense of achievement and a sense of wonder. But more than anything, in a very subtle way, it makes people view their life differently. People have come to me and said, I didn't realize how much of a periwinkle sky there was around the almond trees. We talk about that with the agricultural atmosphere and how it changes sky color and various things. They start seeing. They're going, oh, I didn't realize that we had this many greens. Oh my gosh, I had no idea the bark on this tree and the bark on that tree were different. They're starting to look at their life and they're making time for something that gives something back to them. So there's a lot of good things that come out of it, as well as the camaraderie. You've got something to talk about with people.
Will your program work for all ages?
Absolutely. I have students of all ages. I just tell them it's at your level, whatever it is you can do. That's all it's about. Kids up till about the age of 10 anyway generally aren't that critical of their work. They just really enjoy it. I try to get people of all ages to go back because an artist never retires. We know that. Just remember when someone said, let's go paint a horse, you said, yeah, instead of, oh my God, no, I don't even know what it looks like.
Give us a rundown on the time of the program and also what those who have missed some programs can do to catch up.
It's on Saturdays at 1 on Channel 9, KIXE. It's a half-hour program. I will be uploading those to my website, christinemacshaneart.com. You'll be able to download each program or the whole series. You can also go to KIXE on Facebook. They will be putting up some of the programs so you can watch them as well. They're going to be very accessible. The truth is, if you're having trouble finding it, you can always contact me either on Facebook, Christine McShane, or at my email address, christinemacshane@gmail.com.
It's a wonderful resource. Someone can watch a program repeatedly.
Because it's on video, you can pause it. You can actually paint along with me. You can even make me stop and start again. I tell people all the time, repeat, repeat, repeat. Do the same subject. If you look at a lot of the great artists, they repeated subjects. Each time they did it, they resolved something and brought that to the next painting. Whether your painting gets better or not, your fulfillment does. It's a really great way to practice the art of painting.
Christine, thank you so much.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you miss this show at its regular broadcast time, you can always listen to it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.